I used to say I was raised Catholic. In fact, I was raised in a Catholic family. Lent is one of those religious concepts that didn't make any sense to me and convinces me I was never a Catholic. If only I had known at the time that I do better with things that make sense, I wouldn't have struggled so much with religion. What is Lent? It's 40 days of preparation for Easter, with prayer, repentance, and self-denial. I think that self-denial was what I struggled with. This is when I was 5 and 6 years old, right? It starts the day after Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras, on Ash Wednesday. Easter is the first Sunday after, Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the first day of spring. Why do I remember this? Not because I was a good little Catholic boy, but because I liked the scientific connection between the lunar cycle and the four seasons and these holidays. And the fact that the church at the Council of Nicaea when was the Council of Nicaea, Dave? 325 CE, I say CE, Common Era. Thank you. And what was the Council of Nicaea? It was an organizing meeting of the church. What did they decide? Two things. Jesus is God, and we need some holidays. They picked two, Christmas, Jesus' birthday, even though Jesus was born, according to biblical accounts, as far as scholars can tell, in the spring, would be on the existing pagan holiday, the winter solstice. The second holiday, Easter, a celebration of Jesus' supposed resurrection. When? Near the first day of spring, specifically the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the first day of spring. And Lent starts 40 days before, on Ash Wednesday. During the season of Lent, Catholics over the age of 14 are required to abstain from eating meat on Ash Wednesday and the Fridays of Lent. Catholics over the age of 18 are required to also fast on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. Some Catholics fast each evening or perhaps every Friday of Lent. This is the self-denial I couldn't understand at 6 years old. Thinking about Reverend Dave's topic for today, I went to the library and researched the shadow self. I saw some references to Parker Palmer, a favorite of a lot of you use, and a great philosopher, whose philosophy and work Reverend Cynthia Prescott introduced me to. I found a podcast at reboot.io with Jerry Colonna, one of the regular Reboot hosts, as I understand, and Parker Palmer. Listening to these two guys talk is beautiful. They discuss different things people do to deal with struggle and uncertainty, and many people figuratively run away from themselves. We avoid self-examination. People can't open up in relationships and reveal themselves. Why? Because they can't open up to themselves. They're running away from themselves. Anyway, I only have 5 minutes, I know. But obviously, no matter how far you run, yourself is still there, waiting to be acknowledged, examined, and shared. I found that when I stopped running, or at least slowed down, and examined and acknowledged me a little, I was a little more comfortable with me, and human helped. It took me a long time to figure out what Lent is supposed to be about. If only they'd stated that Lent was a time for self-examination instead of self-denial, it might have made a little more sense to me. On Wednesday, I got a brain pickings email from Maria Popova. Anybody familiar with brain pickings? Two a week. I don't read them often, but when I do, it's gold. The email subject was Nisha on how to find yourself in the true value of education. Hold on to Nisha for a second. In the email, Popova first quotes Elizabeth Gilbert. Do you have the courage to bring forth the treasures that are hidden within you? Popova goes on after this quote from Gilbert. This is among life's most abiding questions in the history of human creativity, our art and our poetry, and empathically, all of our philosophy is the history of attempts to answer that question. Do you have the courage to bring forth the treasures that are hidden within you? Back to Nisha. From the book, The Will to Power, published by his sister after his death, from his writings, we have this. Hold on. To those human beings who are of any concern to me, I wish suffering, desolation, sickness, ill treatment, indignities. I wish they should not remain unfamiliar with profound self-contempt, the torture of self-mistrust, the wretchedness of the vanquished. I have no pity on them because I wish them the only thing that can prove today whether one is worth anything or not, that one endures. So I wonder, how do we endure? By toughening up. By experiencing difficulty, darkness, and examining the shadow we cast. But did Nisha will only trouble for his friends? No. As proof, another quote from Maria Popova's Wednesday email from The Will to Power. What if pleasure and displeasure, this is quoting Nisha still, were so tied together that whoever wanted to have as much as possible of one must also have as much as possible of the other. That whoever wanted to learn to jubilate up to the heavens would also have to be prepared for depression unto death. You have the choice, either as little displeasure as possible, painlessness in brief, or as much displeasure as possible, as the price for the growth of abundance of subtle pleasures and joys that have rarely been relished. If you decide for the former and desire to diminish and lower the level of human pain, you also have to diminish and lower the level of their capacity for joy.